You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is good? It's your boy Sosa Cremenges, fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus, and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. On today's episode, I am going to answer all of your questions that you guys submitted for our second episode of the Fan Mail Friday. Without further ado, let's just get right into it. To start out the episode, we're going to go right into the inside linebacker position. There was a handful of questions, pretty much all based on this position, which makes sense with the recent news. And Treven Howard, who was slated to start at inside linebacker next to Micah Kizer, is now out for the season with a torn meniscus. And so all four of these next questions really touch base on that same topic. And so the first question is from Will Powell _4 on Twitter. All these questions are really from Twitter. So he said, could we get a decent linebacker in a trade for Everett, meaning Gerald Everett? With his free agency upcoming, it would seem to be a good way to get some good value. That's assuming he doesn't explode his stat line this season and that we do need an upgrade at linebacker. And then a follow-up question was, is there any chance we don't need an upgrade at linebacker? And so, I mean, I would personally say that the Rams are incredibly weak at inside linebacker. Treven Howard was a guy that I was very excited to watch this season, mostly because I think he would have taken a big step. And I think his skill set was most replaceable when it comes to Corey Littleton, the departed linebacker. I think, Littleton was excellent in coverage, and that was kind of his calling card as a linebacker and as a player. And I think Howard had the best coverage ability of the linebackers. Now, I think, obviously, there is an issue there with no Howard anymore. And the guy that is slated to start next to Howard was Kizer, who in his own right is a major question mark, as he did lose all of last season due to a pectoral muscle. And so we never even got to see Kizer start. And so there's a lot of question marks at that inside linebacker spot. For me personally, I don't think I would feel very comfortable handing it to a guy like Kenny Young, who seems to be the next man up, or even a guy like Troy Reader, who started a fair amount of games for the Rams last year and played a lot of snaps, but he graded just terribly. He graded 89th out of 90 qualifying linebackers for PFF, and so I do think there's an issue at that inside linebacker spot. If the Rams can make an addition there, that would be great. I think that would be ideal, but it seems that they're happy to go with what they have for now. And so, they're going to roll the dice at that spot, it seems. And, we'll see how it pays off. The next question is from @TheLoadedCannon. Given the Rams' cap situation, assuming no restructures are made, and with the injury to inside linebacker, is it best to seek help via trade or free agency, or just use in-house talent? Answer that question, then kind of ties in with the first one. I personally would look towards the free agent market. There's not any elite tier linebackers available at this point in the game, though I do think that Rams could find a couple of contributors really right out of the gate, and guys that could probably step in and start from day one. Obviously they would have to learn the defense, but a few names that catch my eye are Nigel Bradham, who played a lot of games for a handful of teams, including the Buffalo Bills, the Philadelphia Eagles, and he actually is also a Super Bowl winner, and so that's interesting. He was recently released the New Orleans Saints. Another name that's really intriguing to me, who's not with a team right now, is Zach Brown, who was also with the Eagles recently, and when they cut him, I don't think he signed with another team, though I may be wrong on that. And so he's waiting around in free agency. He's a really athletic linebacker, and he's got experience playing under Joe Barry in Washington for a couple years. And that brings me to my last player, and that's Mason Foster, and who also spent many years in Washington under Joe Barry. And so he's got the fast track to knowing those guys, and I'm sure if the Rams wanted to add them and Joe Barry thought extremely highly of them, he probably would have already lobbied for the Rams to add them. But it appears that, they're going to go with their younger guys and their more unproven guys. And if that's the route that they choose, it's going to be a risky one. But it appears that will be the case this season. The next question and the last one for the linebackers is from at Henry Bear T. He said, which linebackers and how many will the Rams keep on the 53-man roster? And do you think Troy Reader will improve from last season? So I would guess roughly, I think the Rams will keep probably four inside linebackers. And so that's going to be Micah Kizer and Kenny Young. I think those two are absolute locks to make the roster. And then I would have said Traven Howard, obviously, but he's going to be on season-ending IR, I'm guessing. And so he's not going to take up a roster spot, which leaves two spots for the remaining names. And there's a handful of names there. I would personally say maybe Clay Johnston, the seventh-round rookie from Baylor. I think there's something there. You know, it doesn't sound like he's, you know, mentally where he needs to be as of right now, which is probably why he's not gonna get a legitimate chance to start, but his talent is interesting, and I really love his football character, and I think there's something to develop in his skill set. And apparently one guy that's impressing is undrafted free agent rookie Christian Roseboom. Apparently he's getting snaps right now with the second team, which is interesting, and it sounds like he's getting run ahead of Troy Reader, which, you know, doesn't necessarily surprise me, I guess, because as I mentioned before, Troy Reader just did not grade out very well at all. The Rams didn't have many choices at inside linebacker last season, just like they don't now, and, you know, that was kind of the reason why Troy Reader got so much run, but I really don't think that he should this season. And one of the names, I think, actually, that the Rams, that's a bit intriguing, but he's not currently listed at inside linebacker. He's actually listed at edge rusher. Is Natrez Patrick, the former undrafted free agent from Georgia, who actually impressed last season in the preseason, though it was kind of as an edge rusher. Now, his natural position is off-ball linebacker, so inside linebacker, but it appears that he's probably going to stick at the edge for now. Though, if I was the Rams, I would be interested in kicking him inside and kind of giving him run there, because I do think that he could absolutely challenge a guy like Kenny Young for that starting spot. Never mind these, you know, guys on the second team as of right now. I think he would leap them relatively quickly with just how talented he is. Coming up in just a moment, I'm going to discuss some interesting questions surrounding Cam Akers' fantasy football impact, what the Terrell Lewis injury means for the defense, and which kicker I think seizes the starting job. All of it is on the next segment of the Locked On Rams podcast. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MVP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. The fitness industry is very confusing and is oversaturated with a whole lot of BS. I'd like to think my word probably holds some weight, as I've lost 150 pounds over the last 20 months. With that being the case, I've been on the lookout for the perfect protein bar, and have finally stumbled upon one called the Built Bar. You need to check them out. They're absolutely delicious and offer 18 different flavors, so you can really never get bored. The bars are also healthy, they're low calorie, they're low in sugar, they have 19 grams of protein per bar, they're high in fiber, and they even work for those on the keto diet. You can even get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off all orders. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. In the last segment, I teased the upcoming questions for this segment, which include a Cam Akers fantasy-related topic, edge rusher Terrell Lewis's injury and what it may mean for the defense, and the kicker position, which I have touched on in past episodes. Without further ado, we're just going to dive right into the questions. So the first one is from at Stephen L. Hagland. He said, as a Cam Akers fantasy owner, best of both your worlds here, because I am a fantasy analyst, he said, how worried should I be about Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson? And so for me personally, I would say that, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about those guys now. I've had, I believe, three fantasy drafts up until this point in the offseason, and in every one of them, I've actually landed Cam Akers. That's how high on him I am as a player, and how high on it I am at his current price tag. I think his average draft position right now mitigates a whole lot of the risk involved in terms of, you know, whether or not he's going to start and all that good stuff. But I also think Cam Akers is so clearly the most talented running back in that backfield. I think he offers a ton of versatility in terms of catching the ball and running the ball and running inside zone, outside zone, gap scheme stuff. In between the tackles, I think he's tough. He could do that. I think he's got enough speed and enough agility and enough elusiveness to go outside of the tackles as well. You know, this is a guy we're talking about who's a former five-star recruit. He's insanely, insanely talented. When I watched the tape in the offseason, I learned just how good Cam Akers was. And then, you know, when I delved deep into the PFF numbers in terms of how he did in his last season at FSU, I was just absolutely shocked. He graded among the best running backs in every statistical category that you can imagine, from creating as a ball carrier in terms of making defenders miss tackles. It was insane how productive he really was behind such a terrible offensive line at FSU. And so to me, he's by far the most dominant running back in this backfield. I think, you know, as much as Sean McVay claims he wants to have this running back by committee, he still hasn't done it to this point in his, you know, short coaching career. And I just don't think they're really going to look towards doing something like that. I think we could probably expect somewhere between 60 to 70% of the running back snaps or touches to go for that first team running back. And I think that's going to be Akers right out of the gate, especially with Henderson currently nursing a hamstring injury, which has kept him out of training camp practices and may ultimately keep him out of week one. So to sum up, I wouldn't be concerned at all. I would be very excited about Cam Akers' potential impact as a rookie right away. The next question is from at SoulReaper313. He said, how are you feeling about this Lewis injury, meaning Terrell Lewis? And what does it mean for our defense as a whole? Does Clay Johnson make the 53-man roster? So as I mentioned before, I do think Clay Johnson makes the 53-man roster, though, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he does end up on, say, the practice squad. And as for Terrell Lewis, you know, this is a guy who the Rams were extremely high on. They drafted him in the third round. He came out of Alabama. He didn't have a ton of production at Alabama. He didn't have a ton of playing time, just mostly due to injuries. And so it comes as no surprise that he's already nursing an injury here. And, you know, head coach Sean McVay has been very vague about what the injury is and just how much is bothering him and really what the severity of it is. And so it's tough to say really how long, you know, he may be out and, or what it may mean for the defense. But if he is out for a while, it's going to be detrimental to the defense, I think, because the edge rusher spot, I don't think, is very proven at this point in time. You know, you have Leonard Floyd, who the Rams signed in free agency, who I think is going to make an immediate impact as the Sam linebacker, which, for those that don't know, is going to be pretty much the same thing that Clay Matthews did last year. His main job is stopping the run, first and foremost, you know, setting the edge, forcing running backs back inside by setting the edge. And after that, you know, he's going to chip in as a pass rusher, though Floyd has never really proven to be a dangerous pass rusher in the NFL. So that's kind of out of his wheelhouse, but I think Floyd's going to be an important addition there. And then the other spot, you know, is there's potential for a guy like Samson Ebukam to step up and grab that spot, though, you know, up until this point in his career, he just really hasn't taken that next step in his development. And then there's the unknown in Obo Okoronkwo, who a lot of fans are very high on, myself included. I really liked him coming out of Oklahoma a few years back as a pass rusher. Now, you know, he's a really small guy compared to, you know, relative players at his position. But he's got very long arms. I really like his power. I think he's got a really strong long arm move, but I would love to see him just build off of it. I think, you know, his rushes can get stale pretty quickly, but at the end of the day, he might also be the most talented pass rusher on the team as of right now from anyone not named Terrell Lewis. So that kind of speaks to, you know, just how much potential there is there, but also the lack of actual production from that position. And so I think that kind of brings us back to the point that an injury, an extended absence for Terrell Lewis would make an already shaky edge spot even weaker. And so I would definitely be concerned about it. Hopefully Terrell Lewis is okay and he can go really from week one, because that would be a fun four-way rotation at the edge spot. The next question is from at Radio Ramley. He said, which kicker will win the race for the starting spot? And so, you know, if you guys have listened to the last few episodes, really since I've come on, I'm all in on Liram Hirulahu, the kicker from the CFL, who actually played for my hometown, Hamilton Tiger Cats. He's a two-time CFL All-Star. He's a Grey Cup winner. And, you know, my buddy Jake, who's been on this podcast a few times, he brought up this point, which I never really thought about, but he said, you know, he's played in the cold in Canada and he's kicked in like these high pressure situations. And I thought that was a great point that I never thought of on my own. But, you know, kicking in LA in a beautiful, nice new dome on turf is going to be a cakewalk compared to kicking in, you know, negative 30 Canadian temperatures, wind blowing outdoors, the whole nine. And so I think Hirulahu is probably the most best suited for the job because of, you know, his experience as a player. He's done it on a big stage already. He's proven that the CFL was, you know, I don't want to say a cakewalk for him, but he was ready for the next step in his development and his career. He's an older guy. I believe he's 29 years old. So I, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise if he just handled the pressures of being an NFL player and an NFL kicker better than the other younger players in Sam Sloman and Austin McGinnis. And so, you know, I love his versatility. He's kicked and punted in the CFL, and he did it at a very high level. So I would plant my flag there. And it does sound like he's been kind of separating himself in terms of the training camp practices, though as of recently, it appears that Austin McGinnis is closing the gap to some degree. And so, you know, that's notable as well. But so for me, I would go with Hyrulahu, but whoever, I guess, is going to be the most consistent and miss the least kicks, I'm rooting for that guy at the end of the day. Coming up when we return, I will discuss whether or not Van Jefferson is a replacement for wide receiver Cooper Kupp with his upcoming free agent status. Who's going to replace Nickell Robey-Coleman in the nickel cornerback spot? And what to think of left guard Joe Noteboom. Make sure to check back on Monday with our first game week episode. Man, I'm hyped. We got football coming back. Oh, let's go. We're going to highlight the 53-man roster. We're going to talk about, you know, some guys that were surprise cuts, because there's certainly going to be some. We're going to talk about surprise makes on the roster. And we're even going to talk about who the Rams could look to add from the waiver wire, because a lot of players are about to lose their job right now. All of it is going to be on Monday's episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. In the last segment, I teased the dynamic between Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson, how the nickel spot may shake out, and what the interior offensive line is up to. Let's get right into the questions. So the first question is from @wash_tub. He said, do you see Van Jefferson as a Cooper Kupp replacement if he were to leave in free agency? And, you know, this is a tough question to answer, but at the same time, it feels like an easy question to answer. And so, if Kupp were to be let go for some odd reason, which I don't think is going to happen, I do think Van Jefferson would be his immediate replacement. You know, they offer a lot of the same capabilities in terms of elite route running ability, elite ability to create separation, great hands. They both, I think, are probably best suited to play in the slot. You know, they're both relatively bigger bodies for slot players. And, you know, they don't have, like, that elite level athleticism, I would say, though both guys are just very, very good with the technicalities and the intricacies of playing the receiver position. Like, you're looking at two guys who understand how to release off of the line of scrimmage by using a bevy of different release packages. You know, they know how to stack cornerbacks very quickly off the line of scrimmage. They know how to sink their hips and get in and out of breaks really quickly and waste very little movement. And all these little things that go unnoticed, but play a huge part when it comes to being able to separate in the NFL, because these athletes at cornerback and on defense and in general are just so superb. So their ability to recover is absolutely incredible. And so, you know, a receiver being able to create any sliver of separation or hesitation to create more room between himself and a cornerback is just so important. And I think that's kind of what Les Snead and Sean McVay value in a guy like Van Jefferson, is that he doesn't have the highest ceiling of these receivers that came out in the draft with him, but he's probably the best suited to really translate right away into the NFL. I think his skill set and his abilities, it comes as absolutely no shock to me that, you know, he's already killing training camp by every report. I mean, it sounds like he's already leaped Josh Reynolds as the receiver 3 on the team. And again, it's just no surprise because of just how developed he is as a player. Now, he is also an older player at 24 years old. And ironically enough, Cooper Kupp was also 24 years old when he came out. And so they do have that link as well. So to answer your question, I do think he would be the Cooper Kupp replacement if Kupp were to walk in free agency. But I think Cooper Kupp is just way too important to the Rams to allow him to walk. It's more to do. And not to say that he's not talented, because he's absolutely a fantastic receiver and one of the best receivers in football, but it's the off-the-field stuff that, you know, it goes unnoticed, that I think Sean McVay and Les Snead and his staff and this regime are trying to build and have built this culture. And guys like Cooper Kupp are the exact definition of what they're trying to build. And so, you know, I think when you factor that in, just his personal character, his football character, who he is as a guy off the field, I think these are all reasons that the Rams will just absolutely refuse to let him walk. And you know, it doesn't hurt that he's also probably a top 15 receiver in football. And so I would not expect Cooper Kupp to walk anytime soon, though I guess, you know, crazier things have happened. But yeah, you know, I would love to see him, meaning Kupp, Woods, and Van Jefferson work in the same receiving core. That would just be outstanding. That's going to be really fun to watch in future years and potentially even this year. And our last question is from @C_Dez555. And he's got a few questions here, so we'll rip through them together. He said, who is going to replace Nickell Robey-Coleman in the slot? There's been no buzz for Jay Ray, meaning Josh Reynolds. How is he doing? And Joseph Noteboom looks like Cheeks in Aaron Donald highlights. Does he have any good moments at camp? And is Bobby Evans or Noteboom the backup to Andrew Whitworth at left tackle? And so I guess we'll start from the top. And, you know, for me, I think the most logical replacement for Nickell Robey-Coleman in the slot is going to be Darius Williams. Darius Williams, a guy I'm really, really high on. He was, I believe, a late round pick, maybe a sixth or seventh round pick by the Baltimore Ravens a few years back. And he's been with the Rams on and off, meaning, you know, practice squad and then on the 53-man roster for a few seasons now. And last year, it was in preseason when he really started to separate himself as a guy who looked like he had real potential and real development ahead of him in terms of potentially being able to start someday. And then, you know, when the Rams suffered some cornerback injuries during the season, and you know they traded Marcus Peters and they traded Aqib Talib, there was a lot of shuffling at that cornerback spot. Darius Williams actually came onto the field for a few games, got some decent run and some decent playing time, and man, he looked outstanding. That really made me believe, like, you know what, this is a guy who can play in this league for sure, and not just play, he's a gamer. I think this guy could really, really impress. And something that I think, you know, goes to show just how good he is that when you turn off these minimum snaps required for PFF grading, this is a guy who graded ninth among all cornerbacks in grade, in PFF total grade. That's insane, you know. His 78.9 PFF grade ranked ninth among every cornerback in football. That was higher than Troy Hill. That was higher than Jalen Ramsey. That was higher than, you know, everyone else on the roster. And 81.9 of that grade, he had an 81.9 PFF grade in coverage. So that goes to show just how good he was in coverage. It was the, you know, the run support that was the weaker part of his game. And I think that just speaks to how talented he is as a player. I'm super excited to see him not only start for this team, but potentially start in the slot and potentially start outside and then slide into the slot when the Rams do go in nickel formations. And so the next question we'll go to, he said, there's no buzz for Josh Reynolds. How's he doing? Well, you know, just like you said, I'm not entirely sure. There hasn't been much buzz for Reynolds. I haven't heard much in terms of training camp reports. You know, like he mentioned, a lot of it has been from Van Jefferson's performance. And, you know, Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic noted the other day that she believes that Van Jefferson might have jumped Reynolds for that wide receiver three spot. And so, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that Reynolds isn't, you know, improving or performing or looks bad, but you know, at the end of the day, Van Jefferson is just really good. And, you know, if he plays that well, the Rams might just turn to him right away. And, you know, I'm not going to fault Sean McVay and those guys for that decision. But Josh Reynolds is a guy who has just stepped up every time his number has been called over the last few years. You know, this is a guy who came in for an injured Robert Woods 2 or 3 years ago and showed up and performed. Then he stepped in for an injured Cooper Kupp off the torn ACL 2 years ago and performed. And then he steps in last season for an injured Brandon Cooks and once again just performs. So I wouldn't count Josh Reynolds out just yet. I think, you know, he's a free agent at the end of this season, which kind of complicates things. And probably he won't be here next year. But, you know, this is a guy who could start on a lot of NFL teams. Something needs to be said about him being completely prepared every single time his number has been called, and not just prepared, but essentially not really offering much of a drop-off from the guys ahead of him, you know. And the Rams have had a trio of receivers that were outstanding, so for Reynolds to be able to step up and, you know, not necessarily replicate their production, but at least, you know, fill in 70 to 80% of what those guys left behind when they became injured, that's really impressive. And so I'm excited about Josh Reynolds. I'm happy he's on the roster. And if he does happen to be the wide receiver four once again, well, there might not be a better wide receiver four in football. And so that's a great spot for the wide receiver depth chart to be in. And then lastly, this question mentioned something about Joe Noteboom. And, you know, Joe Noteboom is not a guy I'm very high on, not at guard at least. He was drafted as a tackle in the third round. And I like his development and potential future out there. Not saying that, you know, he's going to be a stud at left tackle or something, but it's for sure, in my opinion, he's at his best at left tackle. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, The Rams started him at left guard last year by virtue when Roger Saffold departed. You know, they didn't have really many other options and they had no choice. So Noteboom started there and lasted there for, a handful of weeks until the injury knocked him out for the rest of the season. And according to PFF, he was the 83rd ranked guard out of 83 guards. He was dead last at left guard. And so, that's not a good mark. And, you know, it sounds like he's going to be starting again at left guard, which is questionable to me. Because I do think that he is a better tackle than he is a guard. And so I guess that answers the other part of this question, is that he asked about Andrew Whitworth's backup at left tackle. I would personally say it is Joe Noteboom, because I do think he's probably the best suited to play that left tackle spot. And, you know, Bobby Evans, I would prefer to keep at that right tackle spot, as well as David Edwards. I think he's probably better suited on the right side. And so that kind of just de facto leaves Joe Noteboom as the best option at left tackle, sans Andrew Whitworth. Make sure to check back in with us on Monday to hear your Rams' 53-man roster. Which players were surprise cuts? Which surprisingly made the team? Which players could the Rams add to the roster that were cut from other teams? Find out all of it on Monday. Just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMVP. You can find the page at Locked On Rams. And make sure to subscribe and follow to get all of our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.